Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives. Radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
I'm Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchene of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predator.
Welcome to Smashville.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios and against all better judgment, this is Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate throughout the NHL with all the scores, highlights, news, and more.
But you need to dig in right now, every guy. I want to see people rip their heart out of their f***ing chest this period. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
Now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier.
It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right, it's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. And against all better judgment, Nashville Sports Radio has given me a key and has given us access to the trenches. So all Renegades, out of those racks and into the trenches, join each and every one of us game days live at 5 a.m. Encore presentation, 6 during the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Also, you can support this radio show by giving us a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. Give us a like on Facebook, same name, at Predneck Nation. And again, listen to this radio station through WNSR.com or the WNSR app. Always available for you completely for free. And that makes this show accessible anywhere in the known universe. The Nashville Predators have had a couple of days off this week, and now another back-to-back starts tonight in Chicago. Tomorrow, at home versus Columbus, and that is the beginning of a lengthy homestand for the Nashville Predators. We haven't seen one of those in quite some time. So after tonight, Chicago travel back home very quickly, face off against Columbus, and then Tuesday it is Ottawa, Thursday it is Calgary, and then next Saturday it is the Colorado Avalanche, a huge Central Division game. Let's face it, they're all huge games at this point in the season. Every point critical to the Nashville Predators, who have now played 59 games this season. They have 29 wins, 23 losses, 7 overtime losses. 65 points has them 2 slots back of the wild card, 3 points back of the wild card. On the road, the Nashville Predators are actually one of the better teams in the Western Conference with a record of 16-11-3. Tonight, they head into Chicago to face off against the Blackhawks for the 4th of 5 regular season meetings between these Central Division rivals. The Blackhawks on home ice are 12-13-4, and the Blackhawks have more work to do, but they, at this point, are very much still in the wild card hunt. They're just the last team in the wild card hunt at this point, so they will have a lot more work to do at just 60 points. The Minnesota Wild are at 63, then the Nashville Predators are at 65. We've had a little bit of movement in the last couple of nights since the Nashville Predators have been off. It is now the Arizona Coyotes outside looking in with 68 points, and then we see the Calgary Flames at 68 points, and the Winnipeg Jets have now moved up to 69 points, sitting in the first place spot for the wild card. So the Nashville Predators have some work to do in Chicago tonight, facing off against the Blackhawks teams that is, in their most recent stretch of play, not doing very good. Well, you know, they haven't had a lot of good stretches of hockey this entire season. On the 11th of February, it was a 5-3 loss loss at Edmonton. Then on the 12th, it was a 3-0 loss at Vancouver. Back-to-back road losses there before the 15th, getting an 8-4 win at Calgary. Then a 3-2 loss at Winnipeg. And most recently, a 6-3 loss versus the New York Rangers. Leonard got the start and the loss, 35 out of 41, and the Blackhawks on home ice just got lit up in the third period by the New York Rangers. The Blackhawks will not play again until Sunday, when they will head off to Dallas. When you look at the numbers for this Blackhawks team, 19th in the league in goals for, a 2.93 per game. Goals against is 22nd at 3.17. Shots for, 31.6. They are giving up 35.3 shots against per game. Remember when Joel Quenneville was the head coach and they barely gave up 20 shots a game? Now giving up 35.3. Their power play is the worst in the NHL. 13.8%, ranked 31st. And their penalty kill is 12th in the league, converting 81.6% of the time that they are out there on the ice. For the Nashville Predators, the numbers, goals for, 3.19, has them at 10th in the NHL. They have maintained a top 10 offense in the NHL all season long. Goals against is also at 3.19. That is 25th in the NHL. Shots for, and even 33 shots against, 30.5. The power play, 23rd in the league, 16.4% conversion, and the penalty kill is dead last, 31st in the NHL. You talk about a matchup of futility, the Nashville Predators penalty kill versus the Chicago Blackhawks power play. I simply do not want to see the two worst special teams units in the entire NHL on the ice at any point in time. I mentioned this was the fourth of five regular season meetings between these Central Division rivals. Let's recap those real quick. On the 29th of October, it was the Preds defeating the Blackhawks 3-0, and it was Pekarinen's, quote, easiest shutout he's ever had. Only had to make 20 saves. Nick Bonino took care of all of the scoring, 3 goals in the game, and the Preds scored the big victory on home ice. Bulletin board material, though, as far as the Blackhawks were concerned about what Pekarinen had to say about that game and that shutout. That's why on 11-16, the Blackhawks come right back to Bridgestone Arena and put up a 7 spot, defeating the Preds 7-2. Pekarinen does not fare very well. 10 out of 14 before leaving this game. UC Saros not much better. 7 out of 10, a total of 7 goals against. Roman Josi scored the Nashville Predators only 2 goals in that game. On the 9th of January was the Predators going into Chicago for the first time this season and scoring a 5-2 victory. Arvidsson, Blackwell, Duchesne, and Bonino get a goal each, but this game is most memorable and probably will be most remembered for Pekarinen scoring his first career NHL goal, an empty net goal. He was also 29 out of 31 in net and gets the victory. These two teams will play for the third consecutive time in Chicago on March 22nd. So for the Nashville Predators, they have an opportunity tonight to pick up 2 points against the Blackhawks. As a matter of fact, they have to pick up these 2 points against the Blackhawks. There simply isn't any more room for error, no margin for error. And with the Preds laying an egg against the Carolina Hurricanes, that resets the cycle. So we should now see 3 good games before seeing a 4th bad game. I don't like the way that looks. I see a good game against Chicago, good game against Columbus, good game against Ottawa, then a terrible game against Calgary on home ice. Maybe that's going to happen again. Seems to be the cycle that continuously repeats for this Nashville Predators team. No screwing around. If there are points out there, you have to collect them, because tonight you'll have St. Louis at Dallas. Boston is at Calgary. Minnesota is at Edmonton. And Colorado is at Anaheim. We'll continue giving you the schedule as far as the entire Western Conference and anyone that is associated with a potential wild card spot. And right now, there are quite a few teams involved in that rotation. For the Nashville Predators, listen, they got some outstanding news yesterday, and I think everybody was ready to get some good news. We've been talking for a couple of weeks now about how it was a concern that there was no time frame and nothing really as far as a return for Ryan Ellis. He had been skating, he had been practicing, he had traveled with the team, but we had not heard about a time frame for getting him back into the lineup. Well, Ryan Ellis is apparently feeling much better and appears to be ready to make his return to the lineup. It could be tonight or tomorrow. We'll see how the Nashville Predators decide to handle this after being out now for almost 7 weeks. it's okay to go ahead and give him one more day, bring him back at home. I don't know if you plug him back in immediately as far as being a top pair defenseman in the league. After all, again, almost 2 months off. I don't know if you want to throw the guy out there for 23 minutes on his first night. But Ryan Ellis, spectacular news for this Nashville Predators team. And yes, leading into the trade deadline, getting Ryan Ellis back is a huge boost. But I don't think that the Nashville Predators are quite complete as far as the defense core goes at this point. Once you get past Dan Hamhuis, it is very thin. And while I know at times Tenorti has made a decent play here or there or a big hit here or there, once you start diving into the numbers, Tenorti really is not doing well enough to maintain an everyday spot on the roster. So for the Nashville Predators, trade deadline is coming up. I don't expect David Poile to do anything revolutionary or groundbreaking. He has earned the nickname over the years as Stan Pat Poile on trade deadline day for a reason. Usually, there is at least one or two deals, and the Preds probably will be involved. Mastrodamus will have some opinions on that coming up in the second period. When you look at the Blackhawks statistically, of course, they're led by Patrick Kane after 60 games, 27 goals in the season, 48 assists, 75 points. And, you know, he does very well against the Nashville Predators. That heavy wrist shot that he has is very deceptive, and it gives goaltenders all kinds of trouble. And it's the reason he's scored so many goals over the course of his career. Jonathan Toews, second on the team in scoring, also 60 games, skated 16 goals and 36 assists, 52 points on the year. And then you see DeBrincat, 60 games, 14 goals, 23 assists, 37 points. He's another guy that usually does good against the Nashville Predators. Brandon Saad, 48 games skated. He has 18 goals on the season, but only 10 assists. 9 of the goals, by the way, for DeBrincat of his 14 coming on the power play. So watch out for that tonight. When it comes to goaltending, Lerner got the last start, took the loss, and he got lit up by the New York Rangers on the season. 16-10-5, a 301 goals against average and a 918 save percentage. Corey Crawford, who the Nashville Predators know very well, 30 games skated this season, 10-16-3, a 289 goals against and a 912 save percentage. Goals against, save percentage, not that bad for Corey Crawford, but the wins losses is absolutely terrible. As a team, they have a 3.17 goals against and a 9.10 save percentage on the season. Nashville Predators, of course, Roman Josi leads the team in scoring, dropped off the point per game pace in the last couple of games. This has happened one or two other times this season, and it usually follows a big game or an explosion over the course of two or three games. So the captain, I think, is due for a breakout starting tonight. He had 2 goals in Chicago earlier this season. So Roman Josi, 59 games skated, 14 goals and 43 assists. It's good for 57 points. Philip Forsberg, 53 games into the season, 18 goals and 22 assists. He has gone absolutely quiet as of late, though. As a matter of fact, I think we're going to have to cancel February, maybe just in leap years or maybe permanently. But February this year has been a complete bust. And for a guy that finally found some consistency in goal scoring in the first half of the season, you certainly didn't expect him to just sputter and do nothing for the entire month that we have dedicated towards him. There's a reason that's become a thing over the last couple of years. It's because in this month, it's usually when this dude is absolutely red hot. Listen, he's got a week to go before the end of the month, but I just haven't seen anything out there. I want Philip Forsberg to be a dominant player on the ice every time I see him out there on the ice. I'm just not seeing it right now. Matt Duchesne's third on the team in scoring with 38 points. 26 of those are assists. Nick Menino's at 17 goals. Ryan Johansson's at 12. Rocco Grimaldi at 10. Yarncroke at 12. Craig Smith sitting at 17. Granlund 14. Arvidsson 13. In net, Pekarinen 18-13-3 on the year. A 304 goals against, an 898 save percentage. And UC Saros taking over now as the number one goaltender for the Nashville Predators. 11-10-4. A 2.96 goals against, a 903 save percentage on the season. For the Nashville Predators, after winning three games in a row for the first time since the month of October, coming off the back-to-back home-and-home sweep against the St. Louis Blues in regulation. They have a chance to face off against the Carolina Hurricanes to close out the season series. Scored a victory in Carolina, and a victory over the Carolina Hurricanes for this Predators team the last 5 years is incredibly rare. So the Canes come to Nashville, and they brought all their moms with them to have a good time down on Broadway. Arvidsson, Johansson, and Granlund is your first line. Forsberg, Duchesne, and Turris. Grimaldi, Bonino, and Smith. Yarncroak, Sissons, and Watson. Josi and Weber, Tenorti, and Ekholm, Ham, Hughes, and Fabbro. Juuse Saros gets the start in net. For the Nashville Predators, we are just 1:43 into the first period, and Juuse Saros is coming up with a save on Niederreiter after the defense makes a bad turnover. 2:41, Juuse Saros comes up with a save on Van Riemsdyk's elevated shot, and then at 3:23, Staal has Carolina on the board with his eighth goal of the season. Juuse Saros comes up with an incredible save on Williams on the doorstep, but then Williams takes the puck behind the net, goes around to the other side, feeds Staal, and Staal finishes this play off, giving the Canes a 1-0 lead. And to be honest with you, the Canes have come out red hot and are just dominating. Mastrodamus warned you that the Preds could come out flat after such a successful weekend against the St. Louis Blues, and it appears again he was completely right about what he was seeing in the future, because now Carolina has a 1-0 lead at Bridgestone Arena. At 4:07 of the first, Aho's taking a penalty 2 minutes for slashing on Arvidsson. That denied a great scoring chance off of a Johansson feed. The Nashville Predators were able to gain some momentum at this point. Four shots on goal for the Preds on the power play. Decent movement. Duchesne's turnover near the end of the power play, though, just absolutely killed the momentum. It was kind of like just letting the air out of the balloon. The Preds, though, for about a minute plus, had good movement and some good shots on the net. 13:55, Forsberg's got a breakaway, stopped by Mrazek. 19:53, Josi steps out from the goal line with a jam attempt and a follow-up with 1 second left on the clock. We hit the end of the first period. The Canes have a 1-0 lead. The Preds end up outshooting Carolina 12-11, but let's face it, the Canes were just dominant from the open, and the Preds, although they were able to balance out the shots on goal throughout the first period, the Carolina Hurricanes clearly looking like the better team at Bridgestone Arena. 15 seconds into the second period, Juuse Saros already coming up with a huge save on Staal at the top of the crease. 48 seconds into the period, Ryan Johansson on the board with his 12th goal of the season, tying the game up at one apiece. Now catch this, there's a lot of action happening here. Tenorti backhands the puck towards the net. Arvidsson deflects it. Then Johansson bats it in from the air. Now listen, I slowed this thing down to frame by frame and went through it probably 25 times. Only the Zapruder film has seen more scrutiny than what I gave to this. I see the touch by Arvidsson before it goes down and Johansson bats it out of the air. So Tenorti puts it up in the air. Arvidsson deflects it. Johansson knocks it in before it gets to the ice, and it is an incredible goal. Of course, it's challenged, but nothing to do with a potential high stick. It's challenged for goalie interference. It's ruled a good goal, and with the rule changes, when you make this challenge, if you're wrong, it's a delay of game penalty. So the Carolina Hurricanes willing to risk taking a 2-minute minor to challenge this thing. Good goal, tie game. Ryan Johansson is 12th of the season. Incredible eye stick coordination when it comes to this play, batting that puck out of midair. On the Predators power play, unfortunately, it would be Juuse Saros coming up with the huge play for the Nashville Predators, and it was a save on Staal on a 2-on-1. Now, in the first period, the Preds had a power play that generated four shots. They moved the puck around. They looked good. This power play, the complete opposite. It's honestly what you've come to expect from the Predators power play over the last two seasons, unfortunately. 3:35, the second period. Grimaldi hits the post from a sharp angle. 3:40, Turris going to the box. 2 minutes for slashing in the offensive zone right after Grimaldi had hit the post. At this point in time, the Carolina Hurricanes picking up a power play goal. Svechnikov is 24th of the season. He is just a deadly elite offensive player. this season. Williams with an incredible feed from the corner. Ham Hughes sets the perfect screen. Another Ham Hughesian defensive error. And Williams is just on fire feeding pucks in this game for the Carolina Hurricanes. And the Canes now a 2-1 lead. 8-0-2. Canes are adding to their lead on Niederreiter's ninth goal of the season. Now we've got a 3-1 game. He finds room at the top of the crease and he receives a feed to beat Saros. Preds now down by 2, 10-21. UC Saros comes with a save on Fleury at the doorstep, and there's Williams with another incredible setup. I'm surprised he didn't have his third assist of the game right here. 12-39, Aho stopped by Saros, 16-41. Edmondson off to the box, 2 minutes for holding on Duchesne when he was driving towards the net. Good job by Matt Duchesne to earn this power play for the Nashville Predators, but unfortunately, the Canes, they're disruptive, but you know, the Preds, they're just not that great on the power play, so things just don't work out very well. We're at the end of the second period here, and the Nashville Predators only generated 5 shots on goal in the second period. They had 2 power plays and only got 5 total shots, now being outshot 24-17, losing 3-1 on home ice, and frankly, the Canes are taking over at Bridgestone Arena. 45 seconds into the third period, Johansson's got a shot, and it's stopped by Mrazek at 4:33. Aho's got his 34th goal of the season as he tucks in a secondary scoring chance and a rebound, making it 4-1. And unfortunately, we've seen this entirely too many times at Bridgestone Arena this year. Once it hit 4-1, I basically stopped taking notes because it's the same thing we've seen time and time again. As a matter of fact, we've seen it 8 times at Bridgestone Arena now this season where the Preds have lost by 3 or more goals on home ice. Remember, in their first season, the expansion season, when you would expect them to be getting crushed out there, they only lost 9 times by 3 or more. So they're only 1 off the pace from that awful record. So we have a 4-1 game, and the Preds are just being beaten to the point of attack. It started early. As a matter of fact, it started off the opening faceoff. It continued on throughout this entire game. And for the Nashville Predators, the every fourth game egg, slump, whatever you want to call it, it hits again, and it hits in a bad way. And, you know, the crowd, it's really hard to read. You know, when we saw them against the Islanders, it was 3-0. They were hesitant to get excited, and the crowd, man, I don't know. You got to have more consistent performances on home ice. Like, just being beaten right off the opening drop by an Eastern Conference opponent all the way through to the end. And the final, of course, was 4-1. Yannick Weber would get a 4-minute high-sticking penalty at 18:31. It meant absolutely nothing. Most of the third period meant absolutely nothing, as there was no push. And Carolina honestly did a very good job of just strangling the clock and running it out and killing it off for the Carolina Hurricanes to get the win over the Nashville Predators. So the Nashville Predators close out the regular season series 1-1 against the Carolina Hurricanes, scoring a victory in Carolina and then losing on home ice against the Canes on the mom's trip. So for the Nashville Predators now, it is a home and home. They have become very good at these home and homes, and that is very good because they have a whole bunch of them left on the schedule to finish out the final quarter of the season. It was just last weekend when the Preds had their last home and home. It was the same opponent for each game, the St. Louis Blues, but they were able to sweep that. We will see if they can do the same this week's home and home back-to-back. Is going to be first in Chicago and then tomorrow versus Columbus, Tuesday Ottawa, Thursday Calgary, and then Saturday night Colorado, Edmonton also coming in on this Nashville Predators homestand after this game tonight in Chicago. Mastrodamus has got a whole lot of opinions on everything that happened between the Nashville Predators and the Carolina Hurricanes. Also going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight in Chicago, and we'll sneak in a little bit.
There's been a little bit of
trade line talk here in just a couple of minutes. Mastrodamus coming up in the second period. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Sonia. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Ryan Johansson bringing us back from break right there. What do you want me to do? He's the only guy that scored a goal in the last game. It's 12th of the season. It was the fourth game scheduled egg for the Nashville Predators, and they went ahead and laid it right there in front of the home crowd. Unfortunately, that's the eighth time they've done that this season. Here to talk to me about that and all things Nashville Predators hockey, he is, of course, a man so far ahead in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight for the Predators and the Blackhawks. But first, we'll go back and look in the past at what happened between the Predators and the Hurricanes. On Twitter, at GreekGoalie35, he's always up for the conversation and the interaction. He's also always in the trenches with me right here on this radio show in the second period all season long. He is Mastrodamus. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, doing well. Ready for yet another back-to-back on the weekend.
Mastrodamus, you warned the people when we spoke last. You said you were concerned about a potential flat start because of the recent success. John Hines, the head coach of the Nashville Predators, said something very similar to that, being concerned about the Predators having success, then a day off, and then coming back to the rink perhaps less prepared. So, Mastrodamus, we see you warned. The Hurricanes came out red hot. The Preds never had a chance from there.
No doubt about it. And, listening to the Carolina broadcast on the game, Carolina had not been playing very well. I mean, they were, to a man, they were saying that was their best game of the calendar year up to this point. And the Predators made it pretty easy on them. I didn't see a whole lot of compete level. It certainly didn't feel like a game that the Preds were going to push back on. I mean, you expect, you know, some sort of pushback, you know, 5-10 minutes maybe of time where they're going to get something rolling here and put some pressure on them. But never really came to be. Just seemed like Carolina just put a stranglehold on them once they got that first goal. Yes, the Preds came back to tie it. Didn't take very long, of course, for Carolina to regain the lead. And at that point, pretty much all over. But the pain and sorrow of all the Preds fans in the arena whenever they got there, because that place looked empty about puck drop time. So disappointing, of course, playing against Carolina.
Mastrodamus, before we get into some of the individual numbers and performances from the game, let's just talk about that for a minute. You have noted, and we've had good discussions here, about how when the Preds were just piling on the Islanders, the crowd was very hesitant to react or to get overexcited the way we expect them to. Now, we've seen some moments where the rink feels like Bridgestone Arena again. It feels like Smashville, a rally catfish or two, a couple of wins, and things were feeling good. But this game against Carolina, the building was just flat from the start because the Preds did not give them anything to cheer about. And Mosh, this is a great deep dive stat that just about everybody in the market has been using since you have put it out there. The Preds now have lost 8 times by 3 or more goals on home ice this season. And in the expansion year of this franchise, they did that 9 times. Mastrodamus, Smashville ain't what it used to be.
It's really not. And, you know, aside from the game against St. Louis on Sunday, where it seemed like it was a very playoff-like atmosphere, even though they're obviously not going to catch St. Louis in the standings, but it's a division rival. You know, it's a back-to-back of a home-and-home. The Bortuzzo situation, you know, it added some spice to that matchup. Crowd was really into it. We saw last week against the Islanders, up 3-0 after the first period, and it was almost like, yay, okay, we're okay. And that was pretty much it. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of energy in the building until they were up 5-0 and Craig Smith got a hat trick. The Preds, I mean, you have to be better on home ice if you want the crowd to jump in. We've said it before, I'll say it again. The crowd is ready to jump on board and make it Smashville again and make it the Coliseum where teams just absolutely dread coming to the arena. You have to give them something, though, to have that happen, and they have not done so. Talked about how terrible their record is since they started, and I'll go back all the way to October. Halloween night against Calgary, the Preds at that point were 6-1-1 on home ice until they gave up a 3-goal lead in the third period and lost in overtime. They've won 7 times on home ice since then. That's terrible for a team that's battling for a playoff spot. And I don't want to hear that the crowd was flat because it was an Eastern Conference team. It was a Tuesday night game. Every game means something at this point in the position the Preds are in. If you're completely out of the playoff hunt, if you're L.A. or San Jose, somebody like that, fine. You have nothing to cheer about. That's fine. I get it. You're in the thick of a playoff hunt right now, so I don't want to hear anything about, oh, that's why the fans were late or that's why there was no energy. The Preds have to give them something to be excited about.
And they will have an opportunity to give the home crowd something to be excited about, because after tonight's game in Chicago, coming home for one of the longest homestands of the season, Columbus, Ottawa, Calgary, Colorado, Edmonton, a bunch of these matchups are critical when it comes to the Western Conference playoff races. All right, Mastrodamus, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about this Carolina game, but there are some individual performances I'd like to discuss. As far as the forwards go, well, there was only one goal in this game. It was by Ryan Johansson, his 12th of the year. He also had four shots on net, which is a very nice number for Ryan Johansson. He had 16:54 in time on ice. And man, this guy's got some real skill. And to see the eye stick coordination to do the double deflection, the double tap out of midair and put that puck in the net. Mastrodamus, that's a pretty special goal right there.
It takes a guy with that kind of talent to put that puck in. I mean, on the backhand out of midair to just swipe that puck in. A ridiculous amount of talent from Johansson. We'd like to see, of course, more of that. I mean, only 12 goals for him on the season right now. He's got phenomenal hands. I mean, you watch him on the shootouts. He just sit there and wait out the goalie until they finally go down, and he can put it wherever he wants. But his shot is very good, high-quality opportunities that he passes up to be a distributor all too often. If you have the puck in the slot, take that damn shot. Don't pass it off to a guy on the wing that has a worse angle on net than you do. So I would like to see him do more of that. Did think it was kind of hilarious watching the Canes broadcast about that goal. Just absolutely adamant that it was goaltender interference, which was hilarious. I think Tripp Tracy's thinking back to Buffalo back in 1999 with Dallas. Certainly it was a good goal, but doesn't take away from the fact that Johansson made a ridiculous play on a puck that really just kind of fluttered up in the air like that after two deflections and was able to put it in.
Moss, straight up, if you're going to challenge that play right there, aren't you going to challenge it for a potential high stick on the first tap before it gets down to Johansson and not for goalie interference? I mean, that seemed like a really bad decision by the coaching staff of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, Mrazek, it seemed like he kind of sold the fact that he thought he was interfered with, and really Arvidsson was just standing in his crease, which he's okay to stay in there as long as he doesn't make contact. He didn't even touch Mrazek. He just stood there and had a guy draped all over him. So the fact that Mrazek, I think, was pretty up in arms about Arvidsson being in the crease, I think that kind of sold it to Brind'Amour to make that challenge, but obviously for the wrong reason.
Forsberg led the forwards in time on ice, 17:58. Duchesne was at 17:02. Smith at 17:18. But to be honest with you, the Preds were flat. They were beaten to the point of attack all night long in every zone. The Carolina Hurricanes were frankly the better team, and the forwards offered no support to the D. Now, let's talk about the defense, Mastrodamus. They were not good in this game. In their own zone, beaten to every puck, out-battled, out-hustled, and they lost in the most important area, the triangle around the net, the highest danger area. They were just beaten out of their own spot all night long. The defense for this game, they did not look very good on home ice.
They didn't win one 50-50 puck battle, particularly in the hard area right around the net. I mean, the Jordan Staal goal to get things kicked off. I mean, Korsaros, I mean, makes two ridiculous saves, especially the one on Williams sprawling out. And then Williams has time to get the puck, dust it up behind the net, find Jordan Staal in front with nobody around him from 5 feet away, and, of course, able to put it in. Plays like that, you can't have that. And then, of course, the power play goal that was really, really kind of took the air out of the building with the Svechnikov goal on the power play. You win the defensive zone faceoff on a penalty kill, and Hamhuis with the lightest pass D-to-D angling off the boards made it very easy for Williams, who just lost the faceoff. He knew where to go. As soon as he lost it, he went behind the net, knew what Hamhuis was going to do, intercepts it, and then feeds Svechnikov, who puts together a brilliant shot really off the inside of the post. So again, no chance for Saros on that one again. They just made it too easy on Carolina in front of the net. And that was one of the things that, for the most part anyway, to John Hines, they've changed. They've tried to own that middle of the ice a lot better and kept teams to the outside. But Carolina just outworked them, plain and simple.
Juuse Saros, it's not really worth discussing because he was left hanging out to dry, as we just discussed with the defense. The forwards had no help in support. He still ended up being 26 out of 30, and overall, I thought he made the good first initial save, and I thought as far as his basics and fundamentals, I thought they were all there again in this game. Just a tough night when nobody really plays in front of you. But, Mosh, what'd you see out of Juuse Saros?
Still played very well. Again, we talk about the goals. Didn't have a chance on the Staal goal. Not really much of a chance on the Svechnikov goal. Niederreiter, again, rebound in front of the net. He was just kind of hanging around, kind of right place, right time. And then the Aho goal, again, good wrist shot by him. But solid performance by him. Again, can't put this on him by any means. I mean, there were great chances from Carolina before this game got out of hand, that he kept the team in it. But because the team lost, because he gave up four goals, at least on paper, you're probably going to see, look ahead a little bit, you're going to see Rene tonight and then Sarl Saturday.
All right, Mastrodamus, let's head right there. We reset the clock. The four-game cycle has completed itself. The Nashville Predators can put that egg against Carolina behind them and start fresh again tonight in Chicago and then Columbus tomorrow. We expect Ryan Ellis to come off of injured reserve and be back on the ice. Reports are that he is ready to go. Mastrodamus, Ryan Ellis, 39 games played, 6 goals and 22 assists, 28 points. Of course, we know he was Roman Josi's D partner, and he has missed 7 weeks of hockey. One of the most important pieces of this Nashville Predators hockey team, and he will help solidify that defense again. Hopefully, we see Ryan Ellis back tonight, but it looks like we'll see him back in the lineup this weekend. Remind people what Ryan Ellis brings to this lineup, because we haven't seen him since Corey Perry dirty hit him on January 1.
Well, Ryan Ellis was on pace to have a career year, and for all the talk about how, you know, he signed his contract and really stopped playing hard out there and wasn't putting forth the numbers, played fantastic hockey this season up to this point. Corey Perry did away with that for 7 weeks. But he does solidify the back end. I mean, you put him with Josi together. I still would rather see them separate. Josi has worked with Fabro during Ellis's absence, and maybe put Ekholm and Ellis back together, which was the best defensive pairing, I think, one of the top three national defensive pairings in their entire history, when those two were together on the same line, back on the blue line. But we'll see what happens. I think Josi and Ellis will probably be put back together and go back to Ekholm and Fabro. Again, John Hines has yet to have Ryan Ellis in his lineup since he's been the head coach. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles it, where he thinks Ellis matches up better. Do you put him with Ekholm, who's more of a stay-at-home guy, and let Fabro learn a little bit from Josi, or does Ekholm go with Fabro? So he has some decisions to make, but at the very least, you have top two defensive units out there that are pretty solid. And again, you go back to the third defensive pairing playing 10 to 12 minutes out there, and you hope and pray that they don't kill you out there in those minutes, and hopefully your top two pairs can do just fine.
Mastrodamus, the fourth of 5 regular season meetings between these Central Division rivals, and it has been an interesting season series. Nick Bonino did all the scoring, and Pekarinen stopped all the pucks in the first game of the year between these two squads back on October the 29th. The Preds got the 3-0 victory at Bridgestone Arena. Pekarinen's comments led to some bulletin board material and some motivation for the Blackhawks, who came back 2 weeks later and put up a 7 spot at Bridgestone Arena, winning 7-2. Josi took care of all the scoring for the Preds in that one. Rene and Saros did not stop hardly any pucks in that one. And then most recently, on the 9th of January, it was the Preds going into Chicago and winning 5-2. Arvidsson, Blackwell, Duchesne, Bonino with a goal each. But of course, what we will always remember that game for is Pekka Rinne scoring an empty net goal, the first of his career, also stopping 29 out of 31. Mastrodamus, the Nashville Predators are in Chicago for the second time this season. They'll go back one more time on March the 22nd. It is the worst power play in the league versus the worst penalty killing unit in the league. Oh, Mastrodamus, what happens in Chicago tonight?
Don't think Chicago's forgotten about Rene scoring on their home ice last time they played. So expect Chicago to come out with a lot of fire. Probably going to play a lot better defensively, considering what happened to them a couple nights ago against the Rangers, giving up 5 goals in the third period of that game. So fully expect Chicago to come out with some fire, and the Preds are going to have to match it. It's as simple as that. It's a division rival. You're fighting with them for a playoff positioning. You've got to win these games. I mean, these are the games that are teams that are behind you, and we talk about all the time how the Preds have played well against the top teams in the league, and they play terrible against the bottom teams in the league. Chicago, somewhere in the middle there, but they need to be forceful and get this victory at Chicago, put them in the rearview mirror so they can push forward and try to get in a playoff spot, because there's no breaks. You can't sit there every third or fourth game and go out there and lay a complete egg and play like garbage. You need every single point you can get right now. I don't care what Calgary's going through. I don't care what Arizona's going through. Winnipeg, a lot of teams in the mix right now that the Preds need to catch up with. You can't let opportunities go by the wayside. Chicago is ripe to get beaten. Take care of business there. Come back home against a Columbus team that's absolutely battered with injuries. Get 4 points on the weekend. Then maybe you can talk about all right, now what does David Poile do come Monday with the trade deadline?
And you set it up perfectly right there, Mostradamus. Will we be seeing a sighting of Stand Pat Poile, or do you expect something to happen with this Nashville Predators team before the trade deadline? After all, a wild card spot is very much in play for this Nashville Predators team, and a huge homestand coming up right after the trade deadline.
It's a weird position for the Preds to be in. Usually they're already in the playoffs. They're basically guaranteed a playoff spot. Then it's a matter of adding depth at forward or adding depth on defense, you know, whatever Poile wants to pay for. And this year, you're still out of the playoff spot at this point. You're still fighting for it. You have obviously already made a coaching change. You're obviously not quitting on this season, despite everybody, almost everybody anyway, underperforming the entire season. There's not a whole lot out there. I mean, you saw a ton of trades this past week for depth defensemen. As of right now, not a whole lot left out there on the horizon as far as depth defensemen go. Zach Bogosian in Buffalo, no thanks. Don't want any part of him. We saw Andy Green from New Jersey get traded across the river there to Long Island. Sammy Vatanen from New Jersey, maybe a possibility there, but with some links obviously with Tom Fitzgerald in New Jersey. Maybe you pull off a deal there, but for the most part, there's not a whole lot of D that are ready to get traded right now. All of it pretty much went down this past week with Brandon Dillon, Scandella, guys like that. So not a whole lot left for David Poile if he wants to add some depth on defense. Forward-wise, I mean, the team's 10th in scoring. Forwards are not the issue right now. And you have guys like Trenton that are ready to come into the lineup that have a little bit of experience and I think can definitely earn their way into the lineup. So, but again, it comes down to the top guys at forward. Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson, Arvidsson, those guys, they have got to perform. They've gotten enough depth scoring this season. That's not the issue. They've gotten guys like Yarncroke, Schmidt, Bonino, guys like that have put forth together some good seasons to give the team some decent offense. The top guys have to perform. So David Poile, again, in a position where if he makes any sort of move, I think it's a very minor move. He also has the option, if somebody blows him away with an offer, as well as Schmidt and Granlund have been playing, I don't think you can argue with him possibly trading one of them off and getting some good pieces back in return. Granlund, of course, he's been fantastic under John Hines. Does Poile think he could re-sign him? Craig Smith, you know, maybe Craig Smith being a lifelong Predator, kind of those wink, wink, you know, all right, well, I'll trade you now, but sign with us for a hometown discount in the offseason. You never know what's going to happen. We've seen that plenty of times in the past as well. So difficult decisions to make for David Poile, but I don't think there's going to be anything major coming on the horizon.
No, Mostradamus, this feels a lot more like a Shane Knighty trade deadline than it does a Brendan Witt type trade deadline. You get what I'm saying. The people who know. I got to throw one more name at you, though, before we get out of here. And I know I'm running you a little bit over your normal shift time, but I got to throw it out because Dustin Byfuglien is a true wild card out there. We don't know what the situation is. We don't know how long it would take for him to be ready to go. But Mostradamus, Dustin Byfuglien is out there.
He hasn't played all year. What kind of condition is he in to play? The locker room presence as well. It seems like there's been issues there as well. He's a guy I back away from. I know he brings a physical presence. That's something that I've been clamoring from this blue line to have somebody like that back there. But he's a guy I just don't trust. I don't know what kind of condition he's in. Granted, he doesn't have to play but maybe 20 games or so, but I don't think he's in a position right now to be on anybody's trading block, not until maybe the offseason when everybody can see him skate and see what kind of condition he's in.
Just a curiosity, something to keep an eye on out there. Mostradamus, I've run you some extra minutes tonight. You've done a fantastic job picking up those extra shifts. The people can find you on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. I know you're always up for the interaction, and you'll be talking to people all weekend long. Appreciate you, my friend. I look forward to having this conversation again soon.
Can't wait, and next time we talk, we'll probably have a better picture about that trade deadline.
Absolutely. Mostradamus right there, bringing it strong in the second period, as he always does. We've recapped him. We've put away that Carolina Hurricanes game. We've got you all set up for the Chicago Blackhawks. We've gone over the numbers. We've gone over the stats. We'll review where we are in the standings coming back in the third period. Crazy Charlie Sonny here. Predneck Nation Radio from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators, and you are listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Oh, it's so good to hear that guy's voice again. It's going to be even better to see him back on the ice. Ryan Ellis, Reports are that he is ready to go for the Nashville Predators after taking an elbow to the head at the Winter Classic from Corey Perry. Yes, that dirtbag, that scumbag, that absolute piece of feces. Corey Perry put Ryan Ellis out for 7 weeks. Now, one of the best defensemen on the Nashville Predators makes his return to the ice as the Nashville Predators will head off to Chicago before coming back on home for a huge homestand. Saturday, Columbus. Tuesday, Ottawa. Thursday, Calgary. Then Colorado on a Saturday. And the Edmonton Oilers will close out that homestand. Right now, the Nashville Predators have 65 points. Tonight will be the 60th game of the season for these Nashville Predators. They sit 3 points behind the wild card spot that is currently held by the Calgary Flames. The Winnipeg Jets have moved into the number one wild card spot at this point in time. So the Nashville Predators are involved in a huge mix of teams that also include the Minnesota Wild and, yes, the Chicago Blackhawks, tonight's opponent. While it's a long shot for the Blackhawks, well, a longer shot for the Blackhawks than it is the Predators, they are still very much alive. And Mastrodamus, I thought, made a very good point about how the Blackhawks have sought retribution against the Predators after the Preds, especially Pekarinen, have had some good performances this season. It was a shutout in the first game. He said it was an easy game for him, and the Blackhawks came back and put up 7 against him. This most recent game, Pekarinen scored a goal against the Chicago Blackhawks on their home ice. That is a very embarrassing moment. So I do look for the Blackhawks to make a push tonight against the Predators. Every point critical for this Preds team moving forward. With a quarter of the season to go, they must seize this opportunity. UC Saros is emerging as the starting goaltender of the Nashville Predators. If he continues to lead this team and continues to get some victories, well, the Nashville Predators could find themselves in a playoff spot. That would make all of us very happy. They've already made a coaching change. Most of these players are signed long-term, so there is no point in just wasting a season and not making the playoffs. Once you make the playoffs, anything can happen. After all, this Nashville Predators team was an 8 seed and went to a Stanley Cup final. They were also a President's Trophy winner and couldn't get out of the second round with Game 7 on their own home ice. They were also a division winner who couldn't get out of the first round against the Dallas Stars last year. So getting in is the thing. We never know what's going to happen from there. We don't, and neither does anybody else. That's why you play 82 just to get in to the tournament. Once you're in, you never know. The Predators wouldn't be the first wild card team in history to make a run. We know they have the talent. We know they have the ability. If they could just get the goaltending, they will be fine. We'll see what David Poile is going to do over the next couple of days as the trade deadline approaches. Renegades of Puck, I welcome all of you to these trenches. Game days at 5 a.m. Of course, encore presentation at 6 during Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. But I would pay attention at Predneck Nation on Twitter. Maybe catch some tell. You never know when you might find a cryptic message. You never know when a Predneck takeover might be deemed as necessary. You know what I'm saying, Renegades of Puck? Oh, and by the way, how do you become a Renegade of Puck? Well, it's real simple. You got the fire, you got the fury, you got the passion. You are not afraid to share an opinion when it comes to all things Nashville Predators and hockey. Well, then I certify you a Renegade of Puck. Jump in the trenches with us. Give us a follow at Predneck Nation. Give us a like on Facebook. Listen to the radio show. Download the WNSR app and support this radio station. That's what the Renegades of Puck are all about. Jumping in the trenches, setting the tone for the day, giving everybody the talking points that they need, the information, the stats, the info, the analysis. You can find it all right here. We're all working off the same games, the same video, the same statistics and numbers. It's a matter of how you present it and how you deliver it, and nobody does it better than the Renegades of Puck. So jump in the trenches with us each and every game day, live at 5 a.m. We sure would appreciate you doing that. For Mastrodamus and each and every one of you Renegades of Puck jumping in the trenches, we appreciate each and every one of you. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Thank you so much for listening. Preds in Chicago tonight, back home to face off against Columbus. They've got a knack for doing good in these back-to-backs, so hopefully that will continue. 4 critical points on the line over the course of 24 hours that could change the wild card landscape very quickly. At Predneck Nation on Twitter, check it out, WNSR.com, the WNSR app. That's how you listen to this show. That's how you support this radio station. I'm your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy that hockey.